I was just thinking about just our walk. I still want to encourage you today. You know, it's not easy being a human being. It's not easy being a human being. Sometimes, in fact, in a single day, you can go from one emotional extreme to the other. You can wake up on top of the world, and by the middle of the day, you feel as though the whole world just came apart at the seams, and then only to hear maybe the word of encouragement, or a prayer, or a song. And again, you're lifted. And even in our walk, we all know that it's not a straight line, is it? It's a zigzag, a roller coaster ride, ups and downs, and all kinds of things that we can experience. And my word of encouragement to you and to anybody that I encounter who's a believer is to remain steadfast, to know that God loves you, that he is pulling for you, that he is looking to do all that he can to work with you, to make you what you desire and what he desires you to be. And to not become discouraged because seasons change and seasons pass. You know, I was driving, looking at the leaves and all the trees, for the most part, are bare now. We're moving into another season. And how much of a blessing it is here in the Midwest to have all four seasons. We just left a place where you got the dry season and the rainy season. It's raining cats and dogs, and the mosquitoes are busy, which they were. Or it's so dry, you know, things are parched. But here we are, we get a chance to experience the change of season. But what we know, you know, after living in this place for a while, is that seasons do change and that things don't stay the same. And if you can fix that in your mind, and if you can just own that and embrace that as just a reality and a part of living and a part of life, then you won't be as frustrated or down and out because you hit a spot, because you hit a season. You know, believers have high time, they have low times. And when you have a low time, you know, I tell people all the time, when you're in the valley, it's time to just stop and pause and look around. You know, I treat every experience like it's a holiday. It's a vacation. I'm just passing through. You know, it's not forever. And I want to look around and investigate and explore and see, well, what happens when you're in this stage? What happens when you're in this phase? You know, even as a founding pastor of a church, when we first started, you know, seven people sitting there, and I would have them to always set up 50 chairs. And we came one Sunday, and the janitor of the high school decided that he was going to set 20 chairs. No, not even 20. I think he set up 10 chairs. I said, well, where are the rest of my chairs? He said, well, you only got seven people coming. So I figured, well, I put all those chairs down. I said, no, you don't understand. You don't see what I see. You don't see. So I it's a process, and I needed to have that feeling of watching empty seats fill. I needed to see all of that. I needed to be in touch with what it felt like. I needed to be in touch with the frustration sometimes of even being brand new in it. I remember my wife and I, sometime we would go home, and it's a joke now, but it wasn't a joke then, because we would talk to each other, and I would argue with her as to who was going to run over who in the driveway when we got home, because the pain was so, in developing something new, sometimes it can be tough. You know, because you're still looking at it. You got faith, you believe. But with your eyeballs, you still see where you're at. Some of you are seeing where you're at, but you really just need to open your eyes of faith and say, I'm not here to stay. This is just a season. I'm going somewhere. And how do I know I'm going somewhere? Because the God I serve is faithful. He's faithful. And he's always there to see me from one season to the next season, to the next season. And the seasons will change. It's illegal for them to stay the same. They have to change. So let me just encourage you a little bit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice for me. All right. So the title of the message is Work It Out. Somebody say, Work It Out. We have to work it out. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So we have to work it out, and it's a process. I was thinking about, of course, I've been in hotels. I've been in one hotel after the other. And how in the hotel, of course, Brother Tommy can say amen whenever he wants to hear. There are periodic renovations needed in a hotel. Even in riding some of these planes, my God, sometimes you wish you could have just gotten an insight as to what they were going to fly before you got on it, because sometimes, you know, particularly if you're in a plane for 18 hours, you need a TV that has some size to it and a TV that's functioning properly. But some of these planes, they fly their older models, so the screen is smaller than my iPhone. I said, well, I can watch my iPhone. It's better than watching that thing there. So they need upgrade, and sometimes the airlines will actually update their planes, put in new seats, put in new technology to update them. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but we wish that they would. But in the hotel business, we were in a hotel yesterday and in Baltimore, and we noticed that there had been some renovations, meaning they didn't do the full thing. Is that what they do, Tommy? Sometimes they just do a few things. Then sometimes they do a full renovation where you get all new carpet, all new drapes, all new bedding, new TVs, new music, new everything. But then when they want to just make you think that it's more beautiful, they change a bedspread, maybe change out some carpet, but the bathroom's still dated. You understand? Because things get worn over time. I mean, you got a lot of people that's coming through there. Things get worn. Things become outdated. There's technology just that they have to update this technology in order for people to continue to come, because nobody's trying to stay in something that's old and broke down. And so there's renovations needed. Things become broken and irreparable. It'll never be the same again. You know, even in life, you notice in life that there are some things that can occur in life that some tweaking and some modifications, some adjustments, it can be put back on track. But then there are some things in life that will never be the same again once it's broken. Never be the same again. I tell people all the time with regard to taking care of our bodies, taking care of your diet and your exercise. I say, listen, you don't want your body to break while you're young, you know, because now you got to nurse whatever that is for the rest of your days. You know, I don't know if you saw it on Facebook yesterday. I said, I'm going to live until I'm 100. At least. So in 48 years, I'm going to have my 100th birthday. You all invited? If you take care of yourself. It's not going to be a long party. I figure 90 minutes is about as much as we can give it. But we're going to go strong. Yeah, we're going to go strong. That's right. You just leave me alone, Shell. I saw. But every now and then you need, you know, things need a facelift. We put this new stage in. I love it. I love the fact that I'm not tripping over the little patch of carpet that used to sit right here. But it's just a little facelift to make you feel a little better about your environment, you know, freshen things up. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, even in your house, what a paint job will do to a room. Some people have been living with the same paint. You know, when they build houses, they put contractor's paint on the walls. Contractor's paint, you do not want to leave that on your walls forever. One, because it begins to break down a lot quicker than the good stuff. So if you're finding yourself wiping up dust over and over, and you just got through wiping that dust up, and then you look around and you got dust again, it's because you got that cheap contractor's paint. So you need to do something, get some fresh paint on there. Some small, simple things you can do. I tell people when with regard to the art. By the way, y'all see that article? Anybody see the article? It was an article on me in Herald News. When was it, Friday? I just got it by email. I've been moving around. I need some hard copies, too, if y'all see any out there. But they did an article on the photography stuff. So anyway, I tell people when it comes to art that art is meant to be moved around in a house. So if you got a picture, you know, if you still got that picture of Jesus Kennedy and Martin, you know, I'm just going to tell you today that it's okay to move them. Take the plastic off the sofa, move Martin them, and you can store art, put some new stuff on that wall, come back 5 years from now, take that down, put up something, and just rotate it through the house. Put it in different places. Now, somebody will come by, and they will think you got all new furniture. All you did was move the photograph. I said photograph now. So you keep your art... Keep your heart rotating. So it's the same way with our walk, because it's easy to become stale and start taking things for granted and just be flat. So you know, Paul said, you got to work this thing out. You got to work out. It won't just happen on its own either. You gotta work it out. You got to work to develop it. And there is a reality that you might, and I don't remember the old folk song, you might take two steps forward and three steps back at times. You may find yourself progressing and then all of a sudden back someplace where you thought, well, how in the world did I get here? But you still got to work it out. The point of the matter is you're a human being, so you're going to have these fluctuations. You're going to have these ebbs and flows, and it's not a bad thing. It is just the reality of your existence. And then God is not surprised by those experiences. So what you have to do is get in there and work with him to work it out. Amen? You got to work it out. And so my encouragement to you today is to not allow yourself to get stuck in a season. It's not purpose for you to be stuck in winter. Thank God that we're not stuck in a Chicago winter. Speaking of that, I am making plans now to escape. I got cruises on my mind. I got Mexico. I got hot places. I'm praying that somebody call me and say, please come to Africa, teach for 3 months. I'll send y'all postcards and tell you very good things about the trip, but I got to go. I can't stay in a Chicago winter forever. So seasons, we know they change. We got to work with God and say, okay, now we got to move to the next one. Amen? Are y'all with me? So what is Paul saying here? Paul says, number one, don't stop improving in my absence. He said, you always obeyed, not as in my presence, but only, but even much more in my absence. So he said, work it out. He said, now keep improving, keep updating, keep modifying, keep put fresh water. I don't need to be there to tell you to pray. I shouldn't have to be present to tell you that you need to have a regimen of fasting. This week in our study, Wednesday night, the author of the book was talking about having some rules in your life. There should be some rules. There should be some standard things that are mainstays in your life and in your walk as a believer that you should hold to. So there should be some rules about how you will pray. And we talked about the fact that we're not talking laws. So we're not being legal. We're saying that we're looking at a continuous improvement program as a believer, maintenance as well as improvement. And in having that, we need to have some rules in place. How much reading will you do? How much studying? How many books will you commit to reading in a year? How much of the Bible will you commit to reading? You know, and I say, you know, when it comes to rules or goals, you should not set lofty goals. I was telling the class that for me, for over 20 years now, I have a minimum 3-chapter read per day requirement for Nolan W. McCants. That's my rule. It's my way of making sure that something is going in. I'm going to eat something nutritious every day. I got to do it. And no matter how, I have
the Bible on my iPad. I have the Bible on my phone. I have a physical Bible in the door pocket of my car. I have Bibles in my bedroom. I got Bibles in my library. I keep a Bible in my family room, except when Ari comes over and moves it. But I try to set myself up to be able to always reach for it at a time that I have a window to make sure that I'm eating a steady diet of God's word, because I believe that I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I have rules. I set myself up to be successful in the things of God. Are you with me today? So he says, Paul says, don't stop improving in my absence. Keep doing this thing. Keep working it out. And he's not talking salvation from the standpoint of actually becoming a Christian. That is a given. That is not acquired. That is nothing that you pay for or that you work for. He is talking about the process of becoming a mature believer, someone who has the capacity to be the light that he talks about here, someone who has the capacity to change their environment, to change the composition of the life that they're living in. He says you need to make sure that you are constantly working, change the drapes. You got to have to get a new bedspread. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have nothing, so I never knew that you could change a hand towel or a cloth or a washcloth or the dish, particularly the dishcloth. We had dishcloth that had holes. I mean, in fact, some of them wasn't even a cloth anymore. It was just a piece of something. You know, it was a piece. And when I found out that you could change dishcloth, I was amazed. I said, you mean... And then the thought of putting it in the trash was just totally out of the question. You know, in my neighborhood, we have folk that would literally eat the pork and beans, and the top would go. They'd rinse that out. That was water, and it was cold water in the summertime. That can of water, you understand? So I didn't know anything about the ability to change. So now I change everything. Stuff that don't have to be changed, I change it on purpose just because I can change it. So I think, you know, when it comes to our walk, you got to look around sometime and say, okay, you know, I've been wearing the same suit. You know, I got a section of my closet right now. I took one of the suits to Africa with me. I said, find somebody to fit this. And, of course, your brother tried to fit. I said, man, you. He stand up here trying my suit. I said, that ain't going to work. But I'll tell you, you know, sometimes, seriously now, sometimes you just need to go in your closet. And it takes time to do this because there's an emotional attachment to clothes. It's freaky. You know, depending on when you bought it, how you used to work, wear it, and you know, how you used to look at it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of this stuff needs to go, and some stuff you shouldn't even be giving to other people either, by the way. Don't put nobody in that position. You know ain't nobody. Just get rid of it. Recycle bin. Paul said, don't stop improving. Keep working it out. He said, and do it with fear and trembling. Which is to say, you know, don't lose your edge or your sensitivity toward God and the things of God. You know how easy it is to just come to church and not feel a thing. You could come here every week and just go through the motion of going to church, come in this building, take a seat, sing a song, laugh and grin at somebody and praise the Lord, and go home and repeat that cycle over and over and over and over again. You can do that for years. And you would have lost all of your luster. You know, Jesus says that you are the salt of the earth. He said, but the salt that's lost its luster, its edge, its sensitivity, its flavor is really not of any use to him. And so there's a working it out that is necessary in order for us to be where we need to be able to be what we were made to be. Amen? So Paul said, don't stop improving. Fear and trembling. You have to not lose your edge of sensitivity. And then he says, the God of heaven is pulling for you and counting on you. He said, verse 13, it's God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So you're not doing it by yourself. You're not alone. You're not on your own. God of heaven himself, all of heaven is pulling for your success. It's pulling that for you to improve and to evolve and to develop and to become all that he said you could be. You know, it's sometimes difficult to try to own up or to come up to what God said we are. It's difficult to really see ourselves in that light because we have this human experience that keeps us going from one season to the next season, one height to another low, and all of these different places and gyrations. That's why the Bible says that the just shall live by faith, because it's only faith which is required. And he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Only those who have faith to believe what he has said in its totality will be able to make the call, will be able to finish their run, because you have to believe what God says when you don't even feel like it. You have to believe what he says when you don't look like it. Sometimes you don't look like light. Sometimes you don't taste salty. You're not flavorful at all. You're not preserving anything. Are y'all walking with me? He said, do all things without complaining and disputing, verse 15, 14, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among you whom you shine as lights in the world. So he said, what's he saying here? He said, you can't shine and fight each other. You know, you can't be at each other and you're going to shine. So another lesson on love. He said, how will you know? How will the world know you're my disciples? By the love. He said, well, you can't keep doing this foolishness. You got to do something a little different. You with me today? So verse 16, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labored in vain. So now he's saying, hold to what I'm teaching you. Hold on to. He said, in other words, I'm building something. Now, this is something that most Christians today don't comprehend, and it's not totally your fault, but because of the merchandising of the church and because of what we have made this that is not at all reflective of what God died for, okay? Now people come with a more consumerism type mentality than they do as those coming to be made something. But the objective really here is to become to come to be made a disciple. You know that well. I'm preaching to the choir here, but it doesn't hurt to hear it again and again and again and again, because we can slip back into that same place where we just come and we feel no sense of commitment. We feel no urgency to respond to the word that we've heard, so we just do what we do and live what we live, as opposed to hearing what God is saying to us in this moment and then making a determination, being very, very deliberate to say, I'm going to respond to the word that I heard today. Paul said, I'm building something with you. I'm here to help to mold, to shape you, to bring you to levels of maturity, to take you to, I mean, sure, there'll be different seasons, but you know, you'll handle the seasons differently as you mature. There was a time if it snowed a little bit, you wouldn't want to leave your house, but now you've learned how to operate the snowblower, and so it don't scare you the same way. You got you some snow tires because your car was slipping all over the place, and you realize that if I can just go get me some Blizzax, I'm going to be all right. Paul said, I'm building something. Pay attention, I'm building something. He said, you got to work this thing out, but you got to work with it. You have to be proactive and not just reactive at best. But he said, you got to get in there, you got to take this thing, and you can't be like the children of Israel and not mix it with faith. Mix that thing up with some faith and make it do what it do. But it's our responsibility to not be passive, but to be very aggressive about it. To make up our mind, I'm going to get this. I'm going to get it. I'm not going to just be a church goer. I'm not going to settle into some place of mediocrity or be content with just being whatever I am and God knows my heart. I don't want God to know my heart that way. I'm involved in a continual improvement program, and I'm trying to be more for him and to him tomorrow than I was yesterday. And that's going to require not me just coming and soaking up some words, not just me coming and hearing somebody sing a song. It's going to require me to be diligent, to be actively involved in the process. So you have to work out your own salvation. I got to work out my own salvation. And I know that God of heaven is pulling for me. And in fact, it is the mere desire that I have to work it out is because he put the desire in me, because he's working something in me. It's his will to work something in me so that I can be what I need to be for him, because he's after something in this world. He's after something in this world, and he's not really trying to make a bunch of church people. Sometimes I wonder if he's even trying to make Christians, as we've defined it. But he is trying to make some children of light, and that's what Jesus says we are, amen? Are you a children of light today? Paul goes on, he's telling them, he said, look, I'm being poured out like a drink offering. He said, this is not just a gig. This is not just a vocation. You know, this is not a means of income for me. In fact, Paul told him on many occasions, first of all, you know, you don't even give right anyway. The church over there taking care of me, y'all ain't doing nothing. Well, that's what he said now. He said, and I can shoot photos. He said, if I need to get paid, now there's a way to get paid. Paul said, I've given my life to aid and walk with you to help you to be what God wants you to be. You need to work out your own salvation. Now, really, that's your business, not my business. However, I have given my life to aid you to become what Jesus said you are. But don't fight me now. That's what he's saying. Don't fight me. Don't wrestle with me. Don't struggle. Don't make me have to labor to bless you. Come on and work with me. Can we do this together? Can we do it together? So he said, work this thing out. Stop it. Don't do the Jonah thing. Jonah said, well, Jonah, are you the one? He said, I'm the one. Throw me over. No, we're not throwing you over, Jonah. Jump, baby, jump. You know, sometimes I things get in the wind, the preacher hit things, and so I get calls from pastors, you know. They want to talk to the bishop. They got some things going on in their church. They give me a call. Somebody called me and said, well, you know, this is going on with these people over here. I said, listen, you know, that's none of your business. I have business to police. I ain't got time to be policing folks' stuff. These grown people can hear well. I know they can hear well. No, they can hear whatever they want to hear. They hear it very well. Nobody has to oversell it. They just hear it, they do it. They hear it, they do it. You know, I said, I'm not, it's not our responsibility as leaders to sneak around the corner and peek around the corner to see what you're doing and then to correct every little something you're doing. It's not our job. And I refuse to do it. I promise you, I go home. I got me some Garrett's popcorn the other day. I just go get me some Garrett's and sit back. I said, if they're crazy, they're not crazy because I didn't tell them. They're crazy because they made a decision to be crazy. And then it's funny. Let me just talk about church people a minute while I'm here. I got time, too. And what's funny is, you know, church people, it's like kids. Church people will do stuff. And they'll do it, and they'll do it in a way that it'll cause a little rumble, some noise, and they want everybody to look and give attention to their foolishness. I'm like, nobody's got time for that. And then, of course, there's always some of you members of the congregation who will know of it, who will seek out this kind of information and feel that it's your responsibility to make sure that I get that information. I don't want to know. I really don't want to know all of that. You know, I'm just helping you to work out your soul salvation if that's what you really want to do. If that's what you want to do, I'm here for you. You can call me late at night when you want to work out your soul salvation. Don't call me for no nonsense. You're going to get the caller ID voicemail treatment. Poor Paul said, I give my life to this man. Verse 18, he said, for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. He said, can we rejoice together at your progress? Y'all take this microphone and stand up here. Listen, you guys stand up here in here and talk with confidence that us preachers who grew up in this, it took us sometimes years to get confidence to even step up on the stage. And y'all just grab the mic and step up. Now, to me, that just says something about the community as a whole here, where you actually feel comfortable in that space and you feel confident enough in what you know, what's inside you, to be able to stand up and say it out loud before people. That right there, now listen, don't take it lightly. What I'm telling you, don't take this lightly. But that means God has smiled upon this house and he's smiled upon this community. But we got to do something to spread this thing out, man. We can't just sit here eating like big fat pigs and we're not spreading it out. Somebody needs to know. Hello, somebody. Somebody needs to know. So Paul said, listen, let's do this. Can we rejoice together? Let's you work out your soul salvation. I'm going to back you up. The Holy Ghost got you. All of heaven is pulling for you. Just get in there and work it out, man. Yeah, you're going to have some highs and lows. You're going to have some good times and bad times. Sometimes you're going to feel like the strongest, most powerful believer on earth. Then there's going to be time when you ain't going to feel like a believer at all. But it's okay. Don't stop right there. Stay with what the word says and not what you feel. I told my wife I got to Africa, I was so tired, I was worn. I felt empty. I felt like what do I have to say? And man, I opened my mouth and the Holy Spirit just stood up in the little guy. And I said, look at this here, man. You know, sometimes you just got to do what he tells you to do. You can't overanalyze and thinking and rethinking and process and reprocess. Just do. Just be who you are in him and watch what God will do. It will amaze you how God is doing stuff in you, through you, and you're not even aware, and you definitely don't feel like anything. You don't need to feel anything like anything for the Holy Spirit to work through you. Hello, somebody. You don't have to feel like anything. You know, you get up, Brother David does his exhortation today. You know, this is what I know about standing up here and when the Holy Spirit speaks through you, that there's always one somebody that it was just a straight bullseye. It was the very word they needed to get back on track with their continuing development and self-improvement program. They got encouraged. They got inspired. In fact, you know, it's something when you see your brother or your sister do something that you didn't know they could do. I taught Stacy how to ride a bike. Stacy was 4, maybe two. No, Joy was 3. Stacy was 5. Stacy was kind of reluctant, you know. Got to hold back of that bike and give her, you know, it took a few days to get her. So Joy is just watching. She's barely 3, I think. And she's watching. She looked. So she finally saw Stacy take off. She came and she yanked on my shirt. She said, Daddy, take these training wheels off my bike. That's Joy, y'all, now. I said, okay, baby. I took the training wheels, and, you know, you lift them up at first. You don't take them all the way. You just roll them back. That little girl got on the bike and just took off down the street. Ain't nobody hold the back of her. Nobody had to coach her. Nobody doing. She just started riding. Iron sharpens iron. We encourage and motivate one another. Yeah, you're working out your own soul salvation, but, you know, you're not alone. So you watch one step up, then all of a sudden you say, Daddy, take my training wheels off. Somebody's been sitting here watching week after week, Sunday after Sunday, as these exhorters have come up here, and you say, well, I think I can do that. You see? You know, and I'll close it out here. We got a job here to make some disciples. And we got the right stuff. There's authentic love in this place. You guys care for each other. There's structure here. We got facility that we can afford, that looks good. And we don't have to wait for anything else to happen. It's happened already. So we need to start to pull some people in because someone else needs to see. When you're doing your exhortation, I understand some folk have been bringing some friends. That's a good thing. Tell everybody, mama them, uncle, cousins, neighbors, listen, I'm going to be speaking to my church today. Will you come and just hear me? Because you never know what one small word will do, or just the fact that you're there in a place where people love you and celebrate you and push you on. Somebody sees that because, listen, we take this for granted. People are not getting this in the world. They are not getting love. They're not getting support. It's dog eat dog. Everybody's clamoring and climbing and walking over top of each other. And, you know, it's me and my four and no more. I mean, all of this is the spirit that they're actually living in every day. But to come and to see and to touch and to feel a place where people love each other, where people want the best for each other, where people will cover each other. Listen, they don't know anything about that. But once they encounter it, they'll never be the same again. So work out your soul salvation. Work it out. Don't just become content with a moment or a season. But work that thing out. And God will meet you there. Amen. God bless y'all today.